Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
I want to speak to you this subject. Wake up the mighty men. Do we have any mighty men in the room this morning? Well, we got one. We know. We got one. So here's how this works. If you know, a few years ago, there was a television show called Home Improvement, okay? And I do this on Father's Day, every Father's Day. So, men, if you find something you agree with, you know how Tim, the tool man, you know, hey, what would he do? Okay. All right, so you can bypass amens, praise the Lord's, all of that if you, you know, you're not comfortable with that. But I know that every man is comfortable with you okay? Let's just practice that real quick, okay, fellas in the room, you ready? 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 See, doesn't that either sounds very manly or it sounds like we got the flu that's a contagion all over the room. One of the two. Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3, wake up the mighty men. The Bible says in verse 9, he says, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Now, every time I say this next phrase, men, I want you to respond a manly way. Okay, here we go. Wake up the mighty men. Y'all sound like you have the croup. Let's try it again. Wake up the mighty men. Yeah. Let all the men. I don't know if I'm going to be able to let you do that. I don't know if I can make it through there. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up, please. Not the men who have the croup, okay? The men of war. Wake up the mighty men. Let me give you some statistics real quick. In America, 85% of men in America believe in God. 85% on the range of he is their Lord and Savior to I think so, but I'm not real sure. But I do believe that God does exist. 85% of the men in America believe in God. 5 out of 6 men in America call themselves Christians. But here's where the coin turns. Only 30% of men attend church regularly. Only 1 out of 5 women have their husbands attend church with them in America. And you know what that statistic tells me? It tells me that there is some type of disconnect. There is some type of misconception about men and the Christian faith. Something has gone crossways because no other religion in the world has those statistics. In the Buddhist religion, there are more men than women. For Hindus, same story. More men practice the Hindu religion than women. And it's extraordinarily more men in the Islamic faith than women in the Islamic faith. But for Christianity, for the Christian faith, the women actually outnumber the men in practical faith. So something's wrong. Something's wrong. There is a problem. And the question is, why? Why is that? Why is there such an absence of guys in the church? Where are the real men, the strong men, those warrior men, the brilliant men, those solid, you can't move me men? Where are those men? And then let me just say this. I'm not talking about this perverted form of masculinity, but I'm certainly not talking about this feminist form of masculinity that you hear today. I'm saying, where are the men, the biblical men in the church today? If you look in the stories of the Old Testament, you first come across in Genesis the story of Jacob and Esau. And understanding what a man really is, you've got Jacob, who is a guy who likes to cook and stay indoors. You've got Esau, the dude that likes to go outside and he's wearing the you know, he would be on the front cover of the Outdoors magazine with a camo hat and a shotgun. Jacob, he's going to be the front cover of Forbes magazine wearing an Armani suit and Italian shoes. Two different kinds of guys, because God is a big God and he loves variety. But there is a place for every type of guy in the church. And that's what I want us to figure out this morning. Where are those men? Where are those guys? You know, Jesus' ministry, here's the thing. Jesus' ministry was a magnet for guys. It was. Because Jesus didn't even include women in his closest circle. He wasn't being disconsiderate. He wasn't being demeaning or condescending to the ladies. But what Jesus was really communicating was this. He said, look, you can judge what I have to say according to the amount of men who are buying in and following me. Jesus is saying, if it means something to these guys, it's got to mean something. I mean, you look through Scripture and Jesus was serious about being with guys. He was serious about men, because if you look on the feeding of the 5,000, the multitude, when they counted, what did they count? They counted just the what? The men. And they said that there were women and children all there. There could have been 15,000 people there. But Jesus said there were 5,000 men that we fed that day. And when he chose disciples, who did he choose? A bunch of guys. He chose a bunch of outdoorsy guys. He chose 12 men so that he could show them how to change the world. He picked guys that were fishermen and farmers who had straight up B.O. and they cussed too much. Serious. He picked some small business owners that were tech savvy and they were financially astute. He picked disciples that were just regular guys, hardworking, some blue collar dudes, some white collar dudes. He picked some guys that he could pour his life into so that they could change the world. They were real men, real warriors at heart. Real men who did what real men do. When you look at Scripture, it seems like sometimes guys look at the Bible and they think, well, it's just kind of fairy tale-ish and there's no really exciting stories. These guys are like set up stage actors. These were real men. Paul and Peter. Paul was a real guy. Peter's a real guy. And the Bible even talks about how Paul and Peter, they got into it. They got into it to the point to where I know that you put a bunch of guys together after a while. You cram a bunch of guys real tightly into a group, and it won't take long before there'll be a few of them bowing up at each other. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. There's going to be some guys that's going to, hey, you know, I got my own opinion, man. Wait a second. And so Paul and Peter, they kind of get into it. And Paul says this. He says, I withstood him, speaking of Peter, to his face. What's he saying? He said, we got in each other's grills. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, face to face. Hey, look, I don't agree with you, bro. That's not going to work. We gotta figure this out. We're still buddies, but hey, we're going to have to deal with this in a different way. See, and over the centuries, this misconception has developed from men about the church. Men think the church is a place for women. It's like a women's only club. Or it's for guys that are just polished, you know. The guys that have it all together, you know. I mean, everything's right in their life. They've got everything. They never have a bad day, you know. Or those guys in church, you know, they're a little odd. You know, they're not real guys. You know, they're just a little bit different. They got their own way of thinking. But if you read the Bible very much, you realize that in just a few verses, that is not true at all. It's just not true. So let me say this loud and clear, and this is what I want you to hear this morning. Men, we need you. The church needs you. The kingdom of God needs you. Your wife needs you. Your daughter needs you. And you need to get this, that it is so important that when you follow Jesus, it's that important because boys follow men. Thank you, John. Boys follow men. Boys are wired to watch what dad does. They want to follow a man. I know that's not the way that some families are together right now, but boys want to follow the man. So, it's time for the mighty men to wake up this morning. Let me tell you how that works. Paul gives us a pattern, and I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I'm going to very practically preach this morning just a simple pattern of what a mighty man really is. Wake up. How do you become a mighty man? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, says this. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, and everybody say this on the screen with me, act like men. There you go. Be strong. Verse 14, let all that you do be done in love. Paul says, I want you to act like men. Act like a man. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means that you stand up every day and you do everything that you need to do as a man to do what God has called you to do and placed you on this earth for. So let me tell you what it doesn't mean. Let me give you 3 points of what it does not mean to act like a man. It does not mean act like a woman. Now, I'm not being condescending. I'm not being dismissive for you ladies. You know that if you know me. But men, don't look to follow, look to lead. Look to be the leader. God has given you a role. He has given you a responsibility that has accountability that is attached to it. It is your family. It is your wife. It is your children. They are your household. It is your future. Don't follow those things. Lead those things. Lead those individuals. They desperately want you as the man to step up and to lead them. There is nothing that a wife likes more than for her husband to step up and to man up and to lead his family. You want to turn it on in the house and in the bedroom? Be the leader. Man up. Lead like a man because it's on you, my friends. Brothers, it's on you more than anybody else under your roof. It's not on her. It's not on the kids or the coach or the teachers. It's on you. So don't look to be the weaker vessel. As Peter describes in 1 Peter 3:7, he says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to women. And we definitely need to underline that. As the weaker vessel. Now, Peter's not downplaying ladies. What is he saying? He's not demeaning you. He's talking about physical strength. He's talking about the physical makeup of a lady versus the makeup of a man. It's just, there's a difference. But he goes beyond that. He says it's more than just the strength, the physical makeup. There is the spiritual part, the emotional part. What are you saying, Pastor? Here's what I'm saying. Your prayer life, my brothers, should not be the weaker of the two. Do I need to repeat that? It's not that you can bench press more. Is your prayer life stronger, or are you the weaker vessel? Okay? Don't be the weaker vessel when it comes to leading the kids. It's not her job to raise the kids. It's not her job to set some rules and to follow through. It's your job as the stronger vessel to set the guidelines, to set the parameters. Don't be the weaker vessel. Don't choose to be the drama queen of the house. It should bother you guys. And it bothers me when I hear things like, man, it's terrible at home. I mean, everybody's just on pins and needles because dad had a bad week. And when dad has a bad week, just it's tough at home. Act like a man. Act like a man. But Pastor, you don't understand. Everything hit the fan this week. Act like a man. Man up. Welcome to life. You don't have to lose it. You can step up and act like a man. Grit your teeth, tighten up your shoelaces, stick your chest out, and allow God to make you the mighty man that you are. Be the guy that is awakened. Get full of the Holy Spirit and let Him use you and shape you to be the mighty man of God that you can be and you should be. Some of you have never been told by your fathers, and I believe the blessing of the father has been missed in this generation because fathers have not told their young men, act like a man. Act like, grow to be a man, not a 30-year-old boy. Okay? It does not mean act like a woman. It does not mean act like an animal. Okay? 275 times the Bible uses the word animal or beast. Animal or beast. David used this word when he had sinned against God and committed adultery. And these are the words that he said. He said, he referred to himself, I was a beast before God. Nebuchadnezzar, this king of Babylonia, Nebuchadnezzar was filled with evil spirits and he acted like an animal running through the pasture, running through the desert, through the fields, totally out of control, acting like an animal. Friends, act like a man, don't act like an animal. Pastor, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. Animals have one primary concern, and that is for themselves. When men act like animals, this is what you hear. It's my money. That's my chair. It's my sex. It's my business. It's my, me. That is an animalistic way for men to, and let me tell you something, that will make you end up in a cage like an animal. When you act that way, you're not a man, you're an animal. You can have a little bit of wild in you, though. Here's what I want you to know. You can still have a little bit of wild in you and not act like an animal. Come on, my brothers. Come on. Come on. See, here's where I think we've missed it in church. Because what we try to do to the men in the Christian faith is to tame them and domesticate our men. I'm going to preach now. You need a little bit of wild in you, my brothers. You need a little bit of that open road wind in your face. You need a little bit of that adrenaline. You need a good rush, and you need your heart rate to go up, and it ain't because your blood pressure. You need a little bit of wild in you because men are wired. God created you, my brothers, to be adventurous, to be risk takers and thrill seekers, to step out there and to face the challenge that with a little bit of determination that you can beat the odds. That's the kind of man that is attractive. That is a man. You step up and I'll beat the odds. And with God's help, I know I can do it. Here's the good news. When you become a Christian, you don't have to give all that up. You don't have to give it up. You just use it for a different purpose other than yourself. You have what I like to call wild faith. John Eldridge wrote a book about men, about being wild and not being domesticated, not being this covered up little Christian wimpy guy. You can be strong in the faith. You don't have to be overanalyzed. Those real wild faith guys, they don't overanalyze and underperform. Amen. They think about it and think about it. Well, I've run every scenario. I just don't think I can do it. Or they wait for consensus. Well, everybody's got to agree that this is a good idea. Let me tell you something. A wild faith is when you go against everything and nobody may even agree with you, but you say, with me and God, we can get this done. We can step up and we can do it. I'm a little wild about God and He's a little wild about me. Wild faith. Strong. courageous, exceptional. Animals think about themselves and they don't have any manners. You know, you see a guy nowadays opening the door for his wife or for a lady. That story tells me one of two things. That's either a new wife or a new car. You just don't see that chivalry anymore. Guys, can I talk to you for a second?
Yes, sir.
The mightiest of men know how to treat a woman with respect. You treat women with respect because animals don't care, but mighty men do. So it does not mean act like a woman. It doesn't mean to act like an animal. And it doesn't mean, you're going to like this, act like a boy.
Amen.
If you're 18 years old or older, you're not a boy anymore. Boys cry for mama. Boys want to be taken care of. They want to be pampered and babied. Men, I know this is news to some, but your wife is not your mama. You're not a boy. You're a man. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul writes something, and it's so, so powerful if you look at it the right way. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It's a very familiar passage, but a lot of us, we skip over and we miss and we don't catch the hook. 1 Corinthians 13, 11 says this. When I was a child, everybody say that first word. When. Say it loud. When. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now this next word, what? When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Here's what's happened. Guys, we need to get a hold of the second when.
Amen.
The second W-H-E-N. There was a time when I was a child. I was a boy. I thought that way. I thought people owed me something. I thought I had that they should take care of me. I had all of these concepts that everything is, if it doesn't all work out finally and perfectly, then I'm a failure and all these things. But when I became a man, I set all of that thought process of a boy behind me. I didn't think that way anymore. Right? I didn't think that way. I began to think like a man. I began to consider life like a man. How many of you saw the news is maybe a week or two ago of this 30-year-old guy that was suing his parents? Now get this. I thought this was a joke. He's 30 years old. He lived in his mom and dad's basement up in upstate New York. He lived in his parents' basement and he was suing his parents because they were kicking him out of the house and making him get a job. I know that sounds like, nah, you made that up. I'm telling you, it was on the news. He sued his parents. The judge laughed him out of court. Said, get out. Quick. You know what he said? I can't. My car doesn't run. She said, then push it out of the driveway. Get out. 30 years old. You're not a boy anymore. You're a man. So take responsibility for yourself. Take responsibility for your life. Because until you know how to do that, you'll never know the reality of calling yourself a man. You take responsibility for your household. And you do that in a lot of ways. And let me just give you one illustration. Just go ahead and say, I'm sorry. Can we practice that, brothers? Say it with me. I'm sorry. You need to practice that a lot. Because if you're married, let me just tell you a little secret. You may be totally innocent. You're going to end up saying that. So you might as well just say it right out up front. You might as well just get it over with and go ahead and say, I'm sorry. Because there will come a point you're going to have to say it. I don't care. You're going to have to say it. So just man up. You're not a boy. Just say, I'm sorry. for whatever that I have done. Every sin that I have sinned against you, please. And you know what? She's probably right. She's probably got some things on you that you just haven't apologized for. Just go ahead and man up and say, I'm sorry. Because if you want to be a man, you can't be a boy. So let me just turn the tide. So what does it mean to be a mighty man of God? What does a mighty man look like? I wrote this down. I just remembered it as one of my great. Can I just say this? Back on, it doesn't mean to be a boy. You are young only once, but you can be immature all your life. So be a man. Okay. What does it mean to be a man? Look at that verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Very first description that he uses. They're all military terms, by the way. These are military terms, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, that Paul uses. In the first word, he says, I want you to be watchful. If you want to be a real mighty man, you got to be watchful. What does that mean? Well, it means you got to keep your eyes open. You got to pay attention to life. You got to pay attention to what's going on in your family and what's going on in you. In the ancient times, the best cities were the fortified cities. And what they would do is they would have a small wall, or sometimes they would have a large wall. And that wouldn't be good enough, because they would put the only way that anybody in the entire city could get any sleep is they knew that there were men standing on the wall all night long. We had our men standing on the wall. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I have never been in a time when families were so under attack of stress and challenges. I mean, I'm a man, and I have my family, and I see it too. I experience the complexities and the hurts that life just seems to give right to you. There's so many things that are just coming against marriages and families at large. And I hear people say this, and it's just, it breaks my heart, because they say things like this: I never thought that I would have to deal with this in my family. I never thought something like this would come to my children. Never thought I would experience those things. Let me tell you, the only solution, my brothers, is for you to do this, to be a mighty man. You have to be watchful. You have to get up on the wall. You have to take your place on the wall, watching over your family, guarding and protecting against them, because they are counting on you. Brothers, they're counting on you. They're counting on me. My family is counting on me to be alert, to pay attention to what's coming against our family. You have to pay attention to the media that floods into your home. You have to pay attention to the internet that comes into your home in many different ways. You have to tell your kids this, and my kids know it: there is no privacy until you're paying rent. There's no such thing as privacy for my kids until they start paying rent. And then we'll talk about it. Because if I'm paying attention and they're not paying rent, then I get to know what their passcode is on their phone. Right? Some of you don't know. You got 12-year-olds, you can't even get into their phone. Demand that pass. I want to know what... You have a right to know what their history is. You have a right to know these things. You have the right to get informed about where they are on weekends when they're not at home. You have an idea. You can know. You can just get up on the wall. Temptations are everywhere for these kids. They're all over the place. Enemies are lurking in the shadows to trap them and to capture them. You have a right. Men, you are the watchman. Be alert. It's not your wife. It's not even your ex-wife's job. It's your job. It's your responsibility to guard them and to be alert. You need to know what kind of music they're listening to. Now wait, Pastor. Come on. You need to know who Lamar Kendrick is. Kendrick Lamar. See? I may not have his name right, but I guarantee I know what songs he sings. You need to know what kind of language is being spoken around your children. Come on, I'm just trying to wake you brothers up this morning and say, hey, look, you got to get on the ball. You got to get on the stick. You need to know who's speaking into your kids' lives. You need to know what their friends are. I mean, here's the story. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, there's a priest named Eli. Eli has two sons. And do you know what the Bible says about his two sons? And I quote, this is the passage in 1 Samuel chapter 2. The Bible calls them worthless sons. Now, how would you like your name to go down in Scripture as describing your children as worthless sons? My God, that's terrible. Worthless sons. The Bible places the bulk of the responsibility of these worthless sons on the back of their father Eli. And here's why. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says that Eli knew about their behavior, but he did not restrain them. What's that mean? Restrain. It means that he made no effort. He made no challenge to resist the wickedness that was flowing into his children's lives. Dads, you can't always be your kids' friends. You have to let them know. That doesn't mean you have to be the drill sergeant, but you have to protect them even when they don't want to be protected. If men can get this right, boys will follow them. They'll follow them. So get up off your phone. Get up off the couch. Turn the news off. Get out of the office and get to know what's really going on in your kid and your family's life. Be alert. Be alert. Wake up, mighty men, and be watchful. And then secondly, stand firm in the faith. What's he saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, hold tight to your convictions. A mighty man holds tight to his convictions. That means that you hold on to the things that you believe about God and you believe about your faith. That means you hold on to what you believe about marriage and what you believe about family. That means you hold on to what you believe about morality and good and evil, right and wrong, in the midst of a culture that will challenge you and try to make you look like a fool. You hold on. You stand firm in the faith. You stand firm. In other words, you don't let, get this, you don't let your convictions gravitate toward the convictions of your children. You don't let your standard of holiness be defined by your kids' standard of holiness. I've seen this happen so many times where parents are solid on their faith. They're solid on their convictions. They were raised that way. They've brought their kids up that way. Then their young adult kids, their 20-something kids, begin to deviate from that idea, and they begin to try to justify their actions. And I've watched parents sell out their faith so that they can agree with their kids. You know it's true. You've seen it. They cash in everything that they've always stood for, always taught, so that they can agree with their kids. Let me tell you something. When that happens, you may be good friends with your kids, but you have no respect with them anymore. You've gained friendship, but you've lost respect. They don't see your faith as firm and solid anymore. It's as shifty as the sea sand on the beach. You have to stand firm. You have to hold to it even when your kids are not towing the line. Don't make yourself or your kids feel better by the way they're living, by palatizing or making soft your own faith and what biblical standards of holiness are. Am I preaching to you this morning? This is as straight as it gets. I'm not a gray guy. I'm just black and white. We've got to hold firm to our faith. I want my son to stand with me in heaven. not just be my friend on this earth. May God give me the courage to stand firm and to give him the example to follow. And if he strays off of it, may he be watching me to know that I will still walk the path that God has called me to walk. And when he gets tired and burnt out, and when the devil has showed him that that is a dead end, he will look and find, like any prodigal son would, there is a better place than what I'm walking. Those are men that we need. Don't waver. Don't go back and forth. Be the straight guy that's going to walk it even when it's not popular. Stand firm in the faith. Stand strong. Stand strong. Let the word of God be rock solid in you. It stays strong in a shifting culture. So be alert. Stand firm. And then finally, let all that you do be done in love. That right there. That's why I wanted to conclude this way. I want you to get this. Mighty men know how to love, not just how to make it. That mighty men know what love is, not just how to make love. Come on, I'm right at you today. You know, as a man of God, how to love. To love in all that you do. When you're alert and you're watching those things and trying to guard your kids, you do it in love. When you are standing firm in the faith and you're guarding and holding to the biblical standards of holiness and righteousness and walking with Jesus, you do it in love. When you're acting like a man, not acting like a lady, and you're trying to lead your family, it's in love. When you're loving your wife, it's in love. When you're loving your children, it's all done in love. Even when it's easier to run off the rails and to lose your mind and your temper and to punch holes in a wall, mighty men love mightily. And you have to prove that at some point, because in James chapter 1:20, look what it says. Remember what I said, guys, that there's a little wild in all of us? God made you that way. Please understand, God made you and wired you up to be a man. And there's a little wild in all of us, and we want to take what we believe we should take. James says in 1:20, he says, "For a man's anger does not bring the righteous life that God desires." What does he say? He's saying, if you scream and you get angry and you yell, that will not produce righteousness in your family. Did you hear that? All that ranting and raving and throwing fits and getting upset or just locking down. Some of you guys, you're not screamers. You're prison guard. You lock down. You shut off and you just ignore the world. And you just shut down and you're just gone. That will not bring righteousness about in your family. You just won't do it. James says it won't. I mean, even when the kids do dumb. Let me tell you something. Kids are great at doing dumb. They've got dumb down to a science. We're for real. If you've raised any kids, you know kids can do dumb well. When kids that they just do dumb, let them see the love of God in you as a mighty man. Love them through their dumb. Just love them through it. Because one translation says this, and I close, says, love without stopping. Love without stopping. It's not just not let everything that you do be done in love. Love without stopping. Mighty men say these things. When you look at your kid and they say, you're breaking, and you say, you're breaking my heart. You look at your wife or someone in your family, you say, you're breaking my heart. But I will love without stopping. When you look at that child that's gone off the rails and you say, you were not raised like this. but I'm going to love you without stopping. You look the people you love the most and you say, you're making some terrible, destructive choices. I'm going to love you without stopping. Because I want the love of God to produce righteousness in my family. I'm going to be alert. I'm going to stand firm. They know what I believe. They know what I walk. They know the truth. That's not going to shake. But I'm going to be firm. And in everything that I do, I'm going to love. Love without stopping. It's time for mighty men of God to wake up. We need to just wake up. We need to be the man that God's called us to be. Right here in this generation in 2018, we need some godly men. We don't need to pass it off to the ladies or pass it off to somebody else or to another church. It can just begin right here. Journey Fellowship, we just need to be the men. John Eldridge just said, he said this, and I just quote as I close. All men have an adventure to live, a battle to fight, and a beauty to rescue. That's the truth. Mighty men are heroes. And in our culture, we crave heroes so badly. Almost every movie, every other movie that comes out, it's a superhero. Some comic book, non-reality figure. They can fly or they can shoot webs or whatever they can do. It's just supernatural ability. We're looking for heroes. We like those stories that go down. You know, we like the Bravehearts. Freedom! We like the Gladiators. You know, the sword in his hand just spits in the eye of the enemy. We like the hero. We want a hero. There are heroes all over this room today. You just gotta wake up. There's heroes in this room. Some of you guys, I know some of your stories. And you guys, some of you guys, I'd run into battle with you any day because you're as tough as nails. You're as tough as they come. I've seen the world smash you to pieces, and you game back up. Put your face back on, you stuck your chest out, and you said, I'm not going to be beat. Man, what if the church got a hold of that with some guys? What if we said, yeah, I'm tired of letting the world push us around. I'm tired of the world abusing my family. I'm tired of this culture telling my kids what's right and what's wrong, telling my kids what's cool and what's not. Let me show them. I want to stand up. I'm going to walk it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to let my kids see the tough times. I'm going to let them see how I walk right through. I wade through hell and back for my family. Mighty man. Mighty man. All of you are put together that way. You know how I know? Because God made you. God made you. Pastor, I'm not an outdoorsy guy. You know, I sing tenor. I don't sing baritone. It don't matter. You're a man. You're a man. You've got what it takes to be the hero. God put that in you. You're a hero. You just need to wake up and see that your family wants you to be the hero more than what Hollywood wants to sell them. They want you, man. They want you. You're the guy. You're the story. You're the gladiator. You're the brave heart. You're the guy. You're the man. You're the man. You're the mighty man. Quit shortchanging yourself, fellas. Quit shortchanging yourself for church. Quit saying, well, I'm not perfect. Who is, man? Who is? I'm not. If you only knew. I got my own set of struggles. I just trust the Lord. God, you know what I am. But you've made me something new. And with the blood and covering of Christ, I can be all things that He said I could be. I'm not what I say I am. I'm what you say I am. Thank you, Lord. Man, Brothers, we got to get a hold of that. You're the hero. You're not a zero. Stand with me this morning. You remember that movie, The Alamo? You remember William Travis? You know what he did? You know, he's all out there. He's got all the guys out there. And he says, look, he says, you know what I'm going to do? Takes his sword, pulls it out, drags it all the way across the dirty floor or area of that Alamo. He drags it across. And all those guys are standing over there. You got William Travis. They know that they're up against the armies of the entire country of Mexico. They're outnumbered. They're outmanned. They're out. They're outgunned. It's no match. Everybody knows it's going to be a suicide mission. And William Travis draws that line in the sand. He says, look, if you want to go, we won't think anything about it. But this is your last chance. But if you want to stand and fight, if you want to go down in history as a man that stood his ground, step across this line. This morning, I'm making the same call to you guys. There's a line that's been drawn, and it's right here where this altar is. You see, the altar is the demarcation line. The altar is the line where you cross, when you go through the altar, which is the place of repentance, the place of forgiveness. When you cross over that line, what you are saying is you're saying, everything I've left behind me, I have to leave it behind. Because there is something greater than what I'm going for. There is a glory that I seek that is far beyond anything I've ever lived before. Just like those men at the Alamo, one by one, they crossed that line. They stood there in front of William Travis, and they said, we'll give our lives for this cause, mighty men. The cause is for Christ. If you don't know Jesus this morning, my brother, and you're here today, and you say, I don't know him. I don't even know what you're talking about. This all sounded good. It was kind of motivational for me. Let me tell you, my friend, you can't live it. You'll crash and burn so fast, you can't live it without Jesus. You just can't. You can't. I've tried. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You end up frustrated and confused, and you got to know Jesus. And to know Jesus, it's very easy to know him. The hard part is just following him, because, man, sometimes he takes you up hills and through valleys and stuff. You just got to hang with him, because there is a glory past that line that's greater than anything you've ever known. But you have to cross that line. You have to cross the line and say, Jesus, I'll go with where you want to go. I'll follow where you want to follow. I will do what you want to do. I'm going to give my life to you. And when you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, take everything that I've ever done, put it behind me. Because can I just use guy words? I've screwed up big time. I've made huge mistakes. And I'm sorry for them, because I'm not the man now that I know I need to be. But with God's help, I know I can be. But you can't be the hero without Jesus. Here's what I'm going to ask you guys as we just wrap up. I want to pray for you. You want to be that mighty man, you're going to be a lot of pressure. I want you to cross the line this morning. I want you to cross the line. Right now. Right now. You want to be that man? Come on. You want to be a man? The mighty man that we talked about this morning. It's not insulting. I'm just saying, hey, you want to be. You heard what I said today. You heard what I said. It's tough. It's tough. Won't you fellas look at me? Guys, we love games. We like to play games. We like, whether it's sporting games or whatever, race car, it doesn't matter. We love games. But this is no game. This is life and death. This is eternity that you're dealing with. These are eternal decisions. This isn't like deciding where you're going to go eat lunch this afternoon. This is eternity that you're talking about. This is your children that you're talking. This is legacy that we're talking about. This is what's going to happen to future generations. You got to stop thinking just about you and your generation. You got to start thinking about your kids, your grandkids, and your great-grandkids all the way down. What are you laying down for them to follow? We got a variety. We got ages. We got from teens all the way up to 50, 60, 70, 80 years old right here. We've got generations of mighty men, of heroes. You guys pump me up. Because I know just with this group of men right here, the world could change. Jesus only needed 12. Look how many we got. Look at this. This is awesome. This is awesome. I'm going to pray with you. I want to pray with you. And I want you to pray with me. Don't let me do all the praying. You pray with me. This is the prayer I want you to pray. Just from that verse that I prayed, I want you to say, Father, help me to be that mighty man. Help me to be alert, to know when the devil is coming to take me out, to discourage me, to trip me up. Help me to stand firm. And help me to love in everything I do. Let my tone, let my voice, let the way I talk to my wife, the way I talk to my kids, let that all be done in love. I want you to pray with me. I don't think there'd be anything more impressive for the ladies and women in this room than for them to hear a group of men with that voice praying and saying, God, make me a mighty man. Let's do it. Come on, brothers. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these guys. Come on, brothers. I thank you, Lord, that they, Lord, have stepped up to the line. They've crossed over. They've measured, Lord, what it takes, Lord. They came to the line and they knew that, Lord, it would cost them. It could cost them everything, but God, they have decided to pursue a glory that is greater for generations, for a legacy, for their children, for their grandchildren, for the kids that they don't even have yet. Lord, they have made decisions today. Lord, they have been encouraged and challenged, Lord, to be the men that you have called them to be. Father, make them alert. Let their eyes see, Lord, what the culture is trying to do, the deviance, Lord. Let them see the deception, Lord, that the enemy lays, the traps, oh God, that come, Lord, to cause division in their families, in their marriage, that cause the small things that sneak into their family, Lord, that can destroy them, Lord God, like a nuclear bomb. Let them be alert and to see it, to call it out. Let them stand firm in their faith, Lord, for what they believe, Lord, so that the people around them that love them the most will know that there is always a solid foundation that they can turn, that Dad's going to still be solid. He's going to stand firm. He's going to be there when I need him. He's going to be there when I need him. He's going to be there when I need him because he stands firm. He's a man. He's a mighty man. God, let them do it everything in love. Lord, may they love, oh God, beyond measure. Let them love so much, Lord, just like Christ. They stretch their arms out so far that, Lord, they'll take it to the cross because they bear that love, Lord, for those people they love the most. Let them love you, Lord God, like nothing else, Lord. Let them pursue you as a man of God. Let them, Lord, love their wives. Let they love their children. Let them love their brothers in Christ, Lord, beyond measure, Lord. Make us the mighty men in this generation that so needs to see men of God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, bless them. Put the sword in their hands. Let their feet, oh God, be firm. Let their mind be prepared, Lord, and guarded from evil. Let their eyes, oh God, be protected so that nothing, Lord, enters through that eye gate that is not pure and holy. May they resist, oh God, with their heart, this world. Make them, Lord, make us the heroes, the mighty men. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.